The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Serving it sunny side up.
She's not quiet.
It's News-ish with Betty Rock on The Wally Show.
Wally would agree that he is the quickest to get riled up about anything.
Absolutely.
Hand 100%. Him a topic and he can get angry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing. I don't even understand it. And I try. I try not to. You can literally say, okay, I don't want you to get upset by this, but here's something. And I'm like, okay. And then before I know it, I'm in there with an opinion and,
yes.
and some passion.
Yes, exactly. While Gavin and I try to keep a level head, Wally and I think, can agree on this one topic because I'm going to get angry over it
as well.
And it's the topic of tipping. Many people are experiencing tipping fatigue because it seems that no matter where you go, you are constantly being asked to tip.
Yeah, it's a new thing in our society where tipping used to be at the end of service. It was for customarily better service. And so it was a reward for that.
Right.
And now it's an expectation even before service.
Yes. Yeah. The most ridiculous that I ever came across was this chicken place near us that they asked for a tip in the drive-thru. Hmm. And I mean, I'm sitting there in my own car, using my own gas.
I've done a lot of work here.
You have just reached out the window. It wasn't even raining. It was a beautiful day.
We have changed the game on this thing for some reason.
Well, my story is only one of many. You take, for instance, Ina. She's a 30-year-old bride-to-be, and she was asked to tip in one of the most unlikely places.
I went shopping for my wedding dress like a week and a half ago, and when I went to go pay, they flipped their little iPad around and it asked for a tip.
No, they did not.
Yes.
No, they did not.
Asked for a tip.
No.
Yes. Okay, so here's where it gets crazy. Now, keep in mind, 15 to 20% is usually the expected amount to tip. So when Ina started doing the math, she figured out buying a $3,500 dress meant that she was going to have to tip an extra $700.
No.
That means you're now $4,000 and something.
No. You know what your tip is? Your tip is you bought the dress. Like, that's, I understand. I'm sorry, I'm going to take over for a second. I understand that it is highly, it's a service industry, highly service industry for them to deal with brides and all the changes and bringing out 700 dresses. I fully understand that. But that is part of what you sign up for.
Yes.
You know, that is the job. And you are compensated for selling. And if you sell more and you upsell, then you're compensated for that. If not, then you're paid by the company to do that job.
I agree wholeheartedly. And let me also add in this. I went to go eat at Chick-fil-A with a friend of mine. We actually ate inside. And we were asked by multiple employees, hey, would you like a refill on that?
Right.
Hey, here's your food. Brought it to us. We didn't even have to go up to the counter and pick it up. They don't even ask for a tip. And those people deserve a tip.
See, that's the thing. We've traded in service for expectation, and we've lowered the bar for customer service. Like, if you were standing there and you had a really good experience with somebody and they went above and beyond and helped you find your wedding dress, and you go, look, hey, I know it's not a lot, but here's $20. Thank you. It's just going above and beyond. I really appreciate you.
Right.
You made my day.
But like, $700 extra?
Or when it's expected, I'm going to flip the screen. It's going to ask you a couple questions.
And here's what I commend. Now, instead of doing the $700, 20%, whatever tip, she chose the custom tip option, and she gave a level $50.
Okay. I mean, she gave something, but honestly, she should not have
I agree.
But that's where the social pressure comes in.
I know, you're guilted, you're shamed and everything, and I will stand by this. When did I become the manager of a wedding dress shop? it just makes me so angry.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I think what's going to happen, it's kind of like when everything is special, nothing is special.
Yes.
And it's the same thing that happens with tipping. When every place is asking for a tip, what's going to happen is there will be a revolt against it. Not like the Paris revolt back with Marie Antoinette. Not that bad. Let them eat cake. But eventually, people will just stop tipping everybody.
Yes.
Because you're burnt on it. And so it actually does more harm than good for the industries as a whole when you abuse that people, when you abuse people like that. So there you go. Okay, we'll all take a breath. We'll calm down. And hey, real quick, I'm going to need a tip for doing that segment.
No, I was going to say that I've done a good job, yeah. And I expect a 20% tip
Gavin
today.
Tipper. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and there's been cold weather all across the country, and like where we're at right now. What did you say the temperature was, Betty Lou?
-1.
Yeah, woo! Killing it. Yeah, we're here, though. We're here.
Just like your Waffle House employees, we're here.
I love them. I love them. We need to make a Waffle House run to support them. I have a buddy that runs a homeless ministry called Shower Up, and they provide showers for homeless people. But they also work with People Loving Nashville, and they will do clothes distribution and things like that that people that are living on the streets need, and especially when it gets cold. So we weren't going to do showers on Monday night. And so we knew we weren't going to be in Tuesday, so I didn't have to get up early. And I'm like, hey, I heard he was going down by himself because his family usually goes, and it was snowy. I'm like, look, dude, I'll be more than happy to go with you. I don't have to get up the next day. I'd love to go with you and make sure that, you know, if you have any problems, you have someone to help, you know? And so we drive down to Nashville, and before we go, we pick up a generator and some other supplies and stuff. And then we hear on the radio, by the way, only in the case of emergency should you be out right now. Do not go out. Stay at home. And I just look at Paul. I go, should we be going out? and I love his commitment to the homeless.
Yes.
Like, he's like, we have to. And I'm like, absolutely, you're right. We have to. Mm-hmm. And so...
And you did take a video, because you're in the passenger seat with him, and he's in his 4x4, like, just going down 65, which is the main interstate down here. And, I mean, it's completely white.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to drive in those conditions. That's scary.
And I love it because there's no lane, so you make up all your own rules. It's great. It's like Mad Max and the Thunderdome.
So I get why the news would say, only for emergencies.
So we go down there, and at first, like, because I'm like, man, it is cold. And then I'm like, should we be out here? And there's part of me that's like, oh, well, it'd be better just to stay home, you know. But when we got down there, I cannot tell you how glad I am that I went. We got down there, and we didn't think people were going to be out. We're like, there probably won't be many people here, so it's probably a bus, but let's go anyway. Mm-hmm. And we get there, and when we first get there, there's hardly anybody there. But then one person shows up, another, and all of these people come up, you know, tattered clothes, and we had sleeping bags to give out, warm jackets, hot coffee, like to just really love on these people. And they were so appreciative. And I met this one guy, James, and I had my camera. Like, I got this new camera for taking these 360 videos, and the one that Betty's talking about on our socials, if you just search Wally Show. But, like, this one guy came up to me, asked me what it was. I said, oh, it's a camera, because it's kind of discreet. And he goes, are you interviewing people? I said, I wasn't really planning to. I'm just kind of helping out tonight. And he goes, I'd like to say something. I'm like, by all means, James. Yeah. Yes, come on. And then James drops this.
I want to thank everybody that donated to the Shower Up people and the people that helped the homeless. I've got a new nice jacket, a sleeping bag, and some more boots. Without the people that are donating, I would be stuck. I'd probably be in a hospital with hypothermia or frostbite. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you.
I mean, come on, man. Like, being that thankful for a warm pair of boots and a jacket. Mm-hmm. And, like, because before I went, I made sure I had snow pants and long johns and two jackets and gloves, and I thought everything through. And this guy was just thankful for one jacket that was going to keep him warm that night. And so that, for me, was a time that I was so glad that I went. Maybe I didn't want to in the beginning or was second-guessing it, but I'm glad I went. And that's what I want to discuss with you right now. Like, what is a time? It doesn't even necessarily have to be service, you know, oriented, but it was something that you were, like, hesitating about doing, but then you went and did it. You pulled the trigger, you went, and you're really glad you did. So 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. If you're at home or in the snow or at work, you can call. We're here, 855-33-WAY-FM. What's the time you were second-guessing going somewhere, but you're glad you went?
The other week, we were actually at Costco. This is more of a situation that I'm just glad that I was able to be there and help. So we were checking out at Costco, walked to the parking lot, putting our groceries away with my family of five. And I saw an elderly woman with a cart full of groceries. Some of them are warm and needing to get in the car. And she just was looking a little bit confused and lost. And I then overheard her tell someone that she's like, I don't know where my car is. And the guy was just like, oh no, you know, and but then no one helped her. And I saw that she genuinely looked like she needed a hand. And so I ended up going up to her and was like, hey, do you need help? And she was like, yes. She's like, I'm so embarrassed, but I can't find my car. And so I decided, you know, go along with her and try to help her find that. It took a little while. It ended up being completely on the other side of the building. And so I'm actually really, I'm really glad that I was able to get her, because she's like elderly and was struggling. And so I helped her find her car, walked her to it. And she was so thankful. She gave me a hug and everything. And she's a complete stranger. And she was just so sweet. And it honestly made my day. I was so glad that I was able to help her.
That's the crazy thing about helping people. It does. It makes your day. You definitely made her day,
yeah.
But it also does something for you as well, especially as believers. Like, we know, we feel that thing in our heart. We're like, hey, I need to do something. I feel like God's pushing me to do this. And when you follow through
Absolutely.
With that, it's a pretty amazing feeling. Well, I'm glad that you helped that lady find her car. Now, we could debate whether she should be driving or not.
I know.
So, Tamika, what is a time you weren't sure about going somewhere, but you're really glad you went?
It was this past June. It was 96 degrees outside, super hot. I helped a friend. She was getting ready to start a shower bus and wanted to get to know the community. So she had a block party outside, 96 degrees. And I'm a massage therapist, so I decided to help volunteer. When we got there, we had to set up and everything. And by the time we did that, I was like, do I really want to do this?
Oh, yeah. And also, too, in 96 degrees as a massage therapist, you're massaging some sweaty bodies.
Right. So one of the other ladies that was volunteering, she brought an extra tent. So she set up a tent for me. So when people started coming in and I started to get to know some of them, sharing testimonies, some were just standing there watching, burning up. And I was like, just come and sit under the tent. So we sat under the tent, had a good time, talked, and I was glad that I did it.
Yeah, because you meet people that you're there to serve, you know, and sometimes you do think, oh, I'm helping them, and you feel good about yourself for that. But then at the end of the day, some of these people you meet and you interact with, they alter you, you know, and it gives you a new perspective on service and why it's so important, because it can make a difference in your life as well as theirs when you help them.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
So has that ever happened to you?
Yes, sir. That happened last year. Well, here in Florida, we go through a season where, you know, the storms come and the hurricanes, tropical storms, and everybody gets in a panic once in a while about getting the supply, firewood and water and everything. So one time I was like, you know what, let me just go to Home Depot. And I went to Home Depot, and like the parking lot was just full of people loading up plywood, loading supplies. And I just walked around and offered people to load up their trucks, just load up the plywood, load up the wood. And afterwards I just said, hey, is there anything that that I can pray with you about?
Nice.
And there was several times where I was able to pray with people, of course, mostly about the storm coming, but
sure.
Some asked about, you know, prayer for family members. So it was really, really cool. I was glad I went out, even though the authorities said stay in.
That's a nice touch at the end, kind of like wrestlers have a finishing move. I like how you help out, and your finishing move is to like offer to pray with them about something. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was a good experience.
I like helping out people in Home Depot parking lots. Like if you see like an elderly person trying to load up something or a lady, I always go over and offer to help. There's a lady that was trying to put in these two things that should not have fit in her car. And she had to move her seats forward and everything. And we're cramming stuff in there. And so like, she's like, I'm like, I don't know if it's going to fit. She's like, it'll fit. I think we can do it if I do this. I'm like, well, move that seat all the way forward. And then I just shove it all the way through. And it breaks her window.
No.
And then I'm like, oh, well, glad I could help. No, I'm just kidding.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us. But going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures. And I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that. But it was so different than I had imagined and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of. But instead, I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you, so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
News-ish is one part news and one part ish.
This is what I use. I don't use my brain. I use my mouth.
It's right there in the title. It's the Wally Show.
Self-checkout is, I think, one of the best things that I did not like at first.
I love it. And had it been in existence when I was a little kid, it would have been a dream come true, because I used to play with like the
Fisher Price cash register.
And I'd make my own little beeping sound. Beep.
How do you, it's more like bape.
Bape.
It's like even your beep sound country. We must be at the Dollar General.
Family like Dollar.
Price check on aisle. I don't know numbers.
Okay, moving on.
So yeah, like I love it, and you're right. Like it's fun to check things out. I love it. My wife does not like it. But there could be some changes coming to self-checkouts because companies are seeing big losses here. There's a lot of theft that goes on. So they're trying to pass through where they don't scan everything and stuff, and they just walk out with it. So they're looking at better ways to avoid that by having like better AI, better cameras, you know. But I understand why you want to use the self-checkout, because you can pay one person to monitor it instead of four cashiers. It makes total sense. But the irony is, the other problem they say with this DIY system is that it's created an impersonal experience for customers, which is exactly what I want. Like,
yes,
they're like,
I don't want to talk.
They're saying many people like that conversation and, hey, how you doing today? Good. I just want, you like peanuts? Yeah, I do. Boy, you got a lot of them. Well, they were on sale. Oh, really? What aisle were they in? I love peanuts too. I want to go get some. You know?
Yeah.
But some people crave that. Self-checkout, though, is meant to keep things moving. But there are times when, like, it's unavoidable. Like, the other lines are so long. Like, I go to a Kroger where they only have two main lanes open. And so those fill up with people filled with shopping carts. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do the self-checkout. Whether you want to or not, it's going to be faster. Mm-hmm. You think. But this is the other problem that they're trying to address, is that you go in and you get people that don't know what they're doing. Or they bring in 47 carts of stuff to the self-checkout lane, and then they don't know how to do it, and it takes forever.
Mm-hmm. I've been in that situation where I thought, ma'am, why are we doing this to ourselves? Yeah. Like, you are holding up the whole line, and it shouldn't be this way.
And there's a part of you that wants to help scan. You're just like, let me help you. Please, just let me help you. I can make this go so much faster.
No, I don't want to help, because then I have to have a conversation with the person.
There's a lady in front of me the other day, and it was taken for, and I felt bad because she was older, and so it's like a new system for her. She would like to meet somebody, talk to them, ask about your kids. Here's some grandkid pictures. but like, she couldn't get it figured out, and she was getting frustrated, and so I didn't want to make the situation worse. And then she had a coupon that wouldn't work, and
Please.
And so I'm like, okay, be calm. Don't be a jerk. Just be calm. It's okay. Life's good. Well, Target stores are trying to test this, making it more efficient and maybe helping us by making it 10 items or less in some of their self-checkout lanes.
Yeah, but they're going to hang up that sign, and then people are going to get in there with their 15 items and going to claim, well, it's just five more.
I don't mind five more. I mind a cart. Like, when you see the cart in front of you and someone's checking out and they just seem to not know how to do it, it takes forever. Mm-hmm. Dollar General says they plan to ramp up their employee presence at the front of the stores. Okay, great, Dollar General. Doesn't help us at all in this conversation. They just want to be in the article next to Target. They're like, hey, we got people.
Look at us.
Hey, we hired some youngins over here.
Okay.
And they're okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that's where you shop. But, you know, and so one of the smaller retailers, though, that was interviewed interviewed in this article that said that they are doing self-checkout now, but they're having more cashiers talk to people and help them. And if they want to have interaction, then they're like super friendly and stuff. So that might be a good hybrid of the two. Because mine, sometimes if you have something that goes wrong, you like look forever to find somebody to come because your light's flashing and you're like, would you please just somebody please help me? I'm on an island. I feel like I'm left alone. So there you go. Some changes coming, maybe for the better, though, with self-checkout. Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. And isn't it like the Boy Scout motto, always be prepared? Something like that?
I think so.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I'm a man scout, so I am always overprepared. We've had all this bad weather. It's going across the country. It definitely socked us in here for a day. We missed a day of shows. And so we were coming in today. And I came in early and stayed at a hotel in case the back roads that I have to drive on were bad so that we could get here. Gavin did the same. Then I had to go out and risk my life to go get Betty Rock because she would not stay at the hotel for some reason.
Listen, if you want me here, then you got to make the sacrifice.
Why she won't stay at the hotel, I have no idea.
It's literally a nice hotel.
No, because like, then I got to pack up everything. Yeah. It's more for a girl than it is for
guys. You do your makeup at work.
Yeah. Like,
you don't understand.
We don't.
I know, absolutely not. So, but I am prepared. I think I was overprepared. Some of the things that I brought today, Uncrustables, in case I needed a snack, I got stuck in the snow. Water, because you need water for life. Munchos, because who, you know, want a treat. Two jackets, long johns, snow pants, a shovel and a pickaxe.
Really?
And a deck of cards to keep me entertained while I wait for rescue. Oh, and my Nintendo. Like, that's
oh, smart.
I have all that stuff. Yeah, all that stuff.
What were you expecting? Like a snowpocalypse?
I didn't know. You hear people talk about it, and it's so bad. Sometimes the roads are fine, but they're all iced up getting into the driveway.
Yeah. And also, here's what's crazy.
That's what the pickaxe and shovel were for.
That's just what he thought he needed to get to work.
Yeah, that's
and
just
he's
for work.
Willing to go.
I'm here.
I'm not. I need a pickaxe and a shovel to get to work. Yeah.
My wife was like, what are you doing? I'm like, you never know. Like the road to get into the thing, I've bounced like really hard to get in over the snow pile up. Mm-hmm. So I was going to dig a trench to get to my car in. Turns out I didn't need it. I was overprepared.
Most of us would say, if I need a pickaxe and a shovel to get to work, I'm not doing it.
But me, I'm like, let's do this. Let's go.
In the case of worst case scenario, I'd want to be closest to you.
Thank you.
You would have everything that we'd need to survive.
Yeah. Like Gavin and I last night, we were going to go to dinner and we're like, oh, let's go to Shake Shack. It's right here in the same parking lot as the hotel, but they were closed. They didn't have a pickaxe apparently. So they couldn't get to work. And so we couldn't go. But my training kicked in. Mm. I had Uncrustables and Munchos for dinner in the hotel. It was perfect. I was so glad. So I might have been overprepared, but it saved me. So what is the time that you've been overprepared for something? Doesn't necessarily have to be a snow-related thing, but just something that you found that you were overprepared, or maybe you're always overprepared, and people are like, that's too much. But you know the drill. There's a reason. There's a method to the madness, and I feel you. 855-33-WAY-FM. We're live today, even though the rest of the country might not be, because it's socked in with cold. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'd love to talk to you. What was the time you were super overprepared for something, Rachel?
So we just got back a week ago from a mission trip to Zimbabwe, and everybody who went on that trip, every adult from our church that went on that trip, is definitely an overpreparer. But the one person who stood out was our friend Carl, because every single time we came to a fork in the road or we didn't know how we were going to get 30 pieces of luggage 2 hours away to the village we're going, he was able to open his, like, Mary Poppins bag and had toe straps, had extra extension cords, had zip ties, had knives, had every single thing, rope, had anchors.
I love
everything.
Carl. Carl is my kind of guy.
Yes, and we joked around that if we were lost, he's a survivalist, we're fine. If he's with us, we're fine.
My wife used to make fun of like my carabiners and the straps that I would keep on my backpack until we were on a 12-hour flight one time and her video screen kept falling down. It wouldn't stay up because it was the kind that was in the armrest. And I MacGyvered with my carabiners and straps a way to hold her TV up so she could watch TV for the 12-hour flight. She's never questioned me again.
And she's also never heard the end of that
story. Oh, absolutely. I was a hero that day. Are you kind of an over-preparer there, Brian?
A little bit. So the situation we were in was my wife was pregnant and due on a day a hurricane was supposed to hit New Orleans. So we decided to induce a week early and have the baby. She's a beautiful little girl. And then 2 days after, once mama and the baby were okay, me and two little boys went back to the house and collected everything to hightail it out of New Orleans and get into Fort Worth area.
Now, Brian, be honest with us. I know that husbands have a hard time finding things when they're in the same place for years, but husbands just seem to have a hard time finding those things. Did you have to call your wife after she had given birth to a child? Did you have to call her and be like, now, where did we put the duct tape?
It was more of a, here's what I already got. What else do I need?
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, whatever you got, it was wrong. Like that,
exactly.
I know.
She's like, Brian, how did you forget underwear? Yeah. How is this possible?
This is Monday School. It's Wally's take on what he learned at church, or at least the parts he understood.
Okay, so we realize it is not Monday. It is Wednesday, I believe. Even I don't even know.
It is Wednesday.
So it is Wednesday. And but you know what? The message of God is timeless. It's not bound by days.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So we're in a series about heaven and what it'll be like. And the first big question is, how do I get there? You know, is it being good? Is it following the rules? Is it about being in church? There was a kid who had a great perspective on this when he was asked by a Sunday school teacher, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And he said, you have to be dead. I'm like, oh, he's not wrong.
Yeah, good
you
point.
Know, the kid's actually right. But the world doesn't like the idea of Jesus being the only way to heaven. They want all roads to lead to him there. And maybe you could earn your way into heaven or just be a good person. But the truth is, we can never be good enough. In Acts 4:12, it tells us that we get into heaven. It tells us how we get into heaven because the disciples are being grilled by the Jewish leaders of the day following the death and resurrection of Jesus. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So they were very clear on that. And this set of verses also tells us about what doesn't get us into heaven, really. When you look what's not there, religion doesn't get us into heaven. And he was talking to the religious leaders of the day. So that was super bold because the religious leaders of the day were, you know, running the show. Mm-hmm. And so they're being educated by these fishermen kind of mm-hmm. thing. So that doesn't always go over well. But Jesus loves you right where you are because it's really about the relationship, not the religion. In the middle of your mess, he wants to be in relationship with you no matter what anyone else says or the negative narrative that you might have going on inside your own head. And there's a song from Cain that explains this concept perfectly. So then we had this really cool perspective flip that I had never thought of before. My pastor said this, the question should not be, how do I get into heaven? It should be, how do I get to know Jesus? Because getting to know Jesus changes you, and heaven is the reward, not the goal. And I was like, oh, wow, I love that. Because so many people like, that's the end result. I got to get to heaven. And it's like, no, that's just the reward for following him, you know,
getting to know him.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that perspective. So there you go. That is your Monday School for today.
He's kind of smart.
Guys have underestimated me my entire life.
Sorry, read that wrong. He's kind and smart. It's News-ish with Gavin.
One thing I have noticed more and more in the last few years living in the city of Nashville is the amount of Teslas you see just going on a walk through your neighborhood.
Oh, for sure.
And I think, personally, that I think Tesla cars, like, they look cool. They've got cool features. They're very neat. The Tesla Cybertruck.
No, that's horrible.
That's awful.
I don't have a problem with electric vehicles, but I don't think they're the be-all, end-all answer. And I certainly don't think we should be, like, mandating that that's the only car you can drive. Look at Florida when they had all the storms. People couldn't charge their cars.
Well, and two, I've seen one of those Tesla trucks get stuck on ice and snow. Yeah. Like, it needs to have a Ford guzzling, you know, F-150 to get out.
Well, speaking of Teslas and, you know, bad weather, apparently Chicago Tesla owners might be regretting their car purchase amidst freezing cold temperatures in the city. And I've spent a lot of time in Chicago in the winter.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's painfully cold out there. Apparently, public charging stations, you know, their version of gas stations, have turned into car graveyards over the past couple of days because of the cold temperatures. And apparently, when they go to, you know, charge their batteries at this station, they're not able to charge them because there's not enough juice in the charging station. And apparently, this is something I didn't know about Tesla batteries and electric batteries. It's something that you can't just, you know, plug and go, make that happen. You have to precondition the battery, meaning that you have to get the battery up to optimal temperature for it to charge. So people aren't doing that.
Right.
And then they're getting to these charging stations thinking that they're going to be good.
Charge.
And the cars won't charge. So these cars are being left there. People are having friends come and pick them up in gas guzzlers to get them home.
I love it.
People are landing, you know, in Chicago from their flight, and their Tesla that they left is not able to start.
Yeah.
So it's just an example of, yes, you know, we want to wax poetry about, you know, electric cars being the future, but in situations like this, we have yet to learn how to adapt, and people are getting stranded.
Yeah, because batteries don't do well in the cold. Yeah, that's why you have batteries like in regular cars that have like cold cranking amps.
Yeah.
Like the higher the cold cranking amp, the better it is in cold weather because it drains them down. And so, yeah, if your whole car is dependent on that, yeah, you're not going anywhere. So again, like I don't have a problem with electric cars. I think if you want to own one, enjoy sitting around in the cold. That's fine. My gas car got out today and got me to work, you know?
Totally
and
normal.
And so I think we need both. I don't think you can write one off as bad and only do the other. I know that's what, you know, they're pushing for.
Also, I think it's just so kind of Tesla to think the highest of us because they gave us self-driving cars and battery-powered cars,
right,
and they expect us to handle that in a mature manner and know what we're doing.
No.
And we have proven once again, we have no idea what we're doing.
No.
We're just treating it like we would any other car.
I can't figure out why my TikTok video or my Instagram videos won't post if they're over 2 minutes or how to do that. So, you know, like, good luck trying to figure out a Tesla's car.
I need you to set the bar a little lower, Tesla.
Absolutely. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and there has been a lot of snow across the country, and like ski resorts are getting socked in, and there have been a couple avalanches here and there. And Rock, you came across an avalanche story.
Yeah, there was this guy who was in a snowmobile, and he was doing his part in helping clean the parks and outside area, and all of a sudden he said that it just turned completely black, and come to find out he was like, oh, I've just been in part of an avalanche.
That would be terrifying.
It came from behind and just covered him. And he said it was pitch black. And he was actually under the snow for 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and could tell that he was starting to lose oxygen. He said he started praying really hard. And he thought about his life. You know, like you hear what everybody does when they have those near-death experiences. And he said his first thought was, if I make it out of this alive, am I doing enough to help people?
Oh, wow.
And so he was able to make it out. They were able to rescue him. And he said that he's taking his whole life into a new direction. And keep in mind, this guy isn't like young. He's not like a teen.
Right.
You know, he's not old, but he's definitely probably in his middle 40s, 50s.
Right.
So he's...
Thank you for saying that's not old.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to help. but he said, I'm changing my life trajectory. Like, I'm making sure now that I help people when I see a need, I'm going to help where I can.
That's really cool. Like, that had a profound impact on him and his perspective, too. Because sometimes people get a second lease on life and then they don't make the most of it, you know? And other times, it changes you. That's really cool. I am curious, like, what would your avalanche thoughts be? Okay, so you have just been consumed, and this guy is thinking, okay, if I get out of this, this is the change I need to make. So what would your avalanche thought be? 855-33-WAY-FM. Sometimes when you take something like a question like this that you maybe haven't really thought of before or sat down to take some time, and then now when it's posed in a certain way, you're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I could be more generous. That was something I really should work on. You know, it's kind of like self-reflection, and these exercises actually end up being really good for you because it's way better doing it this way than being in an avalanche and then having this realization.
Very
so
true.
We're saving you a lot of headaches here, okay? 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love to know your avalanche thoughts. I said that weird. Your avalanche thoughts. like, what would you change maybe when faced with that kind of a situation about your life? So Gavin said, you know, we could do this for ourselves, but why don't we do it for the other people on the show? Because maybe that will be more beneficial, because sometimes you can be blind to your own shortcomings.
Faults.
And so, yeah. So let's go with, since Gavin, this was his idea, let's go with Betty. What do you think Gavin needs to have an avalanche moment?
I think if he caught himself in an avalanche and he was thinking about, these are the last moments, what could I have done better? I would say he would think, I need more faith in myself.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I need to be more... I need to earn my man card.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Should I well, earn it by getting
thing,
out?
Well, and here's the possibility. Yeah. If you got out of the avalanche, you would earn a man
Absolutely.
Card. For sure.
The only thing, I wouldn't earn that man card because there'd be a lot of, like, yellow snow
around
me out of fear.
And you were on the bunny slope, so a lot of problems with that. All right, Gavin, for me, what do you think after I'm faced with an avalanche and I get out? What am I changing?
I think you would sit there and say, like, oh, did I do enough to, like, set up my wife to be okay for the rest of her life?
Ironically, I did if I died.
Worry about her, worry about your daughter. I do think, though,
my wife's over there shoveling snow back on me as I'm trying to climb
out.
Yeah, she's standing on my hand. Nope, can't see him.
Legitimately, though, I don't know if I could see you sitting there being like, I should have changed this. I think your thought would be, how do I get out of this so I can go to work tomorrow?
That's very true. You're
Boy,
absolutely right.
Boy, is this
going
to make for a great break.
Exactly. That's exactly how my mind thinks. And if me, I was thinking about Betty, if she was trapped there.
Oh, this is a tough one. You've had the toughest one.
I know.
I mean, what is there that I could change?
It's funny. Like, it came to me instantly.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. That Betty Rock would reevaluate her life and go, you know what? I need to spend less time at Chick-fil-A and more time at church.
That is rude and uncalled for. Don't judge lest ye be judged.
Yeah, but I'm kind of right, am I not? Which did you spend more time or money on, Chick-fil-A or church last week?
Uh-oh.
Don't! Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And we usually read people's emails on the show that email and comment about stuff. But today, we're actually going to play some voicemails back, which I actually really love. So you might not know this, but if you call and we're not here, like you got something after the show, you can actually leave a voicemail for us by calling the regular show number 855-33-WAY-FM. And so this was, we were talking about this the other day, embarrassing 911 calls. That you made, and these two certainly qualify like carries.
I actually called to report that I was getting chased by a goat. I live in the country. This goat was not letting me go, and I was holding him by the horns until the cops got here.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
Oh.
I'm being held hostage. Oh, okay, ma'am, just be quiet. Answer yes or no. No, it's by a goat. Like,
that's pretty embarrassing, but I'm sure they've seen everything.
Yeah, especially in the country.
Yeah.
You know, cops in the country, you know, would be like, oh, okay, it's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're used to this. But then this one was a little bit different, more big city kind of problems.
My 2-year-old, my youngest son, decided to call 911 because I would not cook him bacon. And cops showed up and everything. And they said it was the best call they ever had.
Oh, that's so funny.
It sounds like they reacted well, though, in that scenario, too.
Yeah, yeah, because my kid accidentally called 911 once, and they were kind of like, mad at my wife, you know? Why would you give her this?
She was under your wife's care when she did it?
Yeah. If it was me, do you think I'd ever have heard the end of it or be here? No. You know, so, like, I get it, but it's funny because the mom goes, and you know what? He got bacon for being persistent, like, and I'm like, how do you reward that?
Yeah, no!
Absolutely not. Like, if I was a kid, I wouldn't have gotten bacon for my effort. I would have gotten a spanking, you know? Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And so we are, you know, going to look at some movies here coming out. We have some friends of ours at Hope Nation that posted a list of some Christian movies, because there's a lot of garbage movies out there for sure.
Yeah, and you can see that list when you go to hopenation.org.
Oh, cool. I appreciate that. And so here are some of the things coming up. In February, The Chosen, can you believe it? It came out 7 years ago,
what?
And they are doing, let me see, the first three episodes of season four in theaters.
Which they're already on season four.
Yeah, and I think they're only doing seven total.
Really?
So that's definitely worth checking out. That's been one of those surprise hits that is even confounding the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, how is this being crowdfunded and this successful? It's like, well, right. Jesus was kind of popular. The Forge, if you like the Kendrick Brothers movies, they tend to be a little more heavy-handed on faith stuff, you know, like Fireproof and...
So they're the ones that have done Fireproof. Okay,
correct. And so My War Room, it's what I call My War Room, that one.
Yeah.
So that's the Kendrick Brothers. They have one called The Forge, which they're coming out with right now. And it's kind of a twist on the War Room story. Some of the original members from that are coming back. So if you like The War Room, maybe you'll like this one. Bonhoeffer is coming out in November. That is one. It's from the creators of Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom outsold Taylor Swift at the end of 2023 for ticket sales.
Oof.
Unbelievable. Made 800 and something million dollars. Could not believe that. In this movie, I saw the trailer for it. It looks really cool. It's based on the true story of a Berlin man's fight to preserve Germany's spirituality against the rising Third Reich and Hitler. I've always heard the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I never knew the story behind him. And so I'm like really interested to see this, especially from a faith-based perspective. Then you got from Lionsgate, you got For King and Country's Story, Unsung Hero. And ironically, it's the story of their mother. Helen, you know, like you think of the boys and what they've accomplished, but really without the strength of their mom, you know, maybe they wouldn't have accomplished what they've done.
Which makes her the unsung hero.
Exactly. And then finally, that one's going to be out around Mother's Day. And then finally, Ordinary Angel is coming out in February. It's from the creators of Jesus Revolution. So if you like Jesus Revolution, which I did, this one looks really good. It stars Hilary Swank in it as well. And it's based on a true story. And I like the story of this lady who's trying to find purpose. And she's not perfect, but she finds purpose in trying to help this family. And it seems like it's going to be a really good movie. And we actually are going to do a promotion with this, too, where you can nominate an ordinary angel in your community and they can win some money and a charity can win some money as well to do more good. And so we'll have more details for you on that in the future here coming up as you listen to Way FM. But if you love movies and you want to support Christian movies, this is a great way to do it. These are some great options.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. If it's trending, streaming, or starring, Betty Rock's got it on The Rock Report.
Before he got the role as Brandon Walsh in the hit TV series 90210, Jason Priestley was just another actor trying to make it. But one interesting thing about his journey into Hollywood is that at one point he was roommates with another struggling actor at the time by the name of Brad Pitt.
Ooh. Yes. Wow. Gavin, can you Google their ages for me?
So like Brad,
because I pictured Pitt as much older than Priestley.
No, they both look like they're in their 50s.
60 years old for
Brad.
Brad 60? Pitt.
60? Yeah.
And then who else was it? Was
Justin Priest.
Jason Priestley.
Jason.
Yeah, Brad Pitt is 60? Wow, he looks so much better than me. And I'm 55.
54.
Betty, your face tells it all. You go, yeah.
You said he's 54?
Yeah.
Okay, so not a huge difference. Okay. I didn't think they were in the same ballpark actor-wise.
Well, Brad Pitt, who after becoming an A-list celebrity, was crowned twice as the best-looking man in Hollywood.
Mm, amen.
And while many would assume, just by looking at Brad Pitt, that he probably smells of leather and mahogany.
Yes, probably. I thought that. Yeah, maybe campfire.
Jason Priestley would like to set the record straight. He claims that as roommates, they would challenge each other on who could go the longest without taking a shower.
Oh, that's funny.
And Priestley says Pitt would always win.
Yeah, ew. Priestley seems like a pretty boy. Like, I can't even imagine
so
him making
Brad Pitt
it a day. Well, Brad Pitt, early Brad Pitt, wasn't. Early Brad Pitt, I can't even believe he was an actor. Like, he was so bad.
Sure.
Long hair Brad Pitt, Legends of the Fall Brad Pitt, Thelma and Louise Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Then he got better as an actor, for sure, and became the Brad Pitt we know today. But I know a lot about Brad Pitt, and that's the most I've ever said Brad Pitt in one sentence.
Tell me more. Mm.
Well, they never did specify how many days they went without taking a shower. But, I mean, according to you two as guys.
Sure.
How long have you gone without taking a shower?
On purpose or on accident?
How is it an
purpose.
Accident?
On purpose? 4 days, maybe.
Yeah. I had like a surgery in high school and I didn't shower for 5 days, but that felt awful.
Yeah. Because sometimes, like, you're in the house because of weather and things like that. So you're not out running around and, you know, one day just kind of bleeds into the next. And before you know it, you're 4 days into the, and into that same shirt.
Stop it.
That is disgusting.
Hey, man, that's what COVID will do to you. COVID wrecked a lot of people's shower schedule. People could have won some bets on that day.
Also, what was the different? What was the accident? How do you accidentally not take a shower?
Or just like camping.
Okay.
I don't want to take a shower when I camp because it's cold. It's not fun. So that's like three straight days there. And I love Betty's judgment when Betty doesn't wash her hair for 3 months.
Seriously, though.
That's true. I didn't wash my hair for 2 weeks.
It's got to be more than that. No, you're a girl. You should know better.
No, I didn't wash my hair for 2 weeks. And
single, you say?
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, I could see that because you have so much hair that would be a pain to wash every day.
Yeah, like it was wonderful.
I get that. You dry shampoo though, so you're not horrible.
No, I don't want to be like greasy and oily, so I use the.
Does the dry shampoo really work?
Yes.
Does it?
You
Does
were it? I. I didn't wash my hair for 2 weeks and we didn't notice. You didn't notice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So,
yeah.
You're welcome.
There you go. My daughter dry shampoos because of you now.
Because of me?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
What a compliment.
I know, she does. Yeah, she's just as dirty as you. Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. So, yeah, you probably know about all the cold weather going on around the country and how bitter cold it is in places. And homeless people suffer even more so than normal at these times. And I have a friend that runs a homeless ministry called Shower Up. And I went with him downtown on like the first night of all the snow here in Nashville to hand out clothes to people and coffee and things like that. And it was a great night. But I ran into this one guy, okay? And so I'm down there, I'm cold, and I'm trying to just be a good person and live out my faith and help. And we're giving jackets out, and this guy shows up, and I start showing him the options of the jackets that we have, some nice leather ones, some puffy ones. And then he gets, like, really indignant with me, saying that I'm playing favorites, and I'm giving better stuff to white people.
Oh.
Yeah. He threw down the race card, like, real fast on me. So I realize I'm down there with someone else's ministry who's down there all the time. I'm just volunteering. So I try logic. I try reason. I try kindness because, again, I'm volunteering here. But then he gets really loud and starts accusing me of being a racist.
Oh.
Which is something I have a big problem with, you know, because once you start shouting that stuff, then people listen and maybe they believe. And what would you say? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I'm not going to let that just slide, you know? And so, like, he kept saying I was giving the good jackets to the white people out of the side of the truck or people that looked like me. So I was taking them from up there. And I'm like, okay, so I don't care if you're homeless or not. I'm going to treat you like I would treat anybody that's doing this, okay? And so I'm having respect enough for you to not coddle you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to treat you like a man. I'm going to treat you like anybody else. And so I say, okay, I understand what you're saying. You're wrong. And if you don't mind being proven wrong, you'll come over to the side of the truck. I said, but you got to be okay with being wrong because you're going to be wrong. And he's like, I've been wrong before. I don't mind. I said, well, get over here. Come on over here. Let's go. Let's light it up. And he walks over, and I open the door, and I go, what's in that box? You tell me what's in that box. And he goes, sleeping bags. I said, exactly. Just like the one I gave you. Just like the one that everybody got. Are there coats over here? No. It's all jackets. Mm. It's all sleeping bags. And I close the door. I said, now, I hope that you realize that I'm treating you like everybody else. And I'm trying to help you, mm-hmm. and I want to help you, you know? And so he calmed down after that, and he walked around the back of the truck, and I said, how about this jacket? This looks like a good one. This one looks like it mm-hmm. would fit you, and it's a nice jacket. How about this one? And I said, if you don't like that one, how about this one? And it did calm down the situation, mm-hmm. and he took a jacket, and then he went along his way, mm-hmm. you know? And so I know that wasn't the way that a lot of people would have handled that situation when you're volunteering. And I know this because people were staring at me.
And also because you weren't invited to come back and volunteer.
Yeah, that's a good way to never have to volunteer again. No, but my buddy who, like, runs this thing, he stayed out of it. He knows I'm a man, and he knows my heart, and I can handle it, okay, you know? Sure. And so he's like, yeah.
If I were there, I would have gone over to rescue you.
Yeah. Like, he comes over, like, after we were talking, he says, yeah, I saw you talking to that guy, and I was explaining to him what happened. He goes, yeah, I knew you had it. It's like, I figured it was not a big deal. And so it was a moment, though, of tough love for this guy. Like, was that my intention that night? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But then I also don't want to be categorized or characterized as something I'm not, mm-hmm. you know? And so I gave this guy tough love, but it ended out okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it ended up, he realized, okay, this guy's not what I'm accusing him of. And so we hit a good space and I was able to actually help him, you know, and stuff. And so that's kind of what I want to discuss with you. Have you ever had to divvy out a little bit of tough love to somebody? It's not always fun. Sometimes it's your kid. Sometimes it's coworkers. Sometimes it's your boss. You know, you got to give some tough love out, you know? So I'm just curious if you've ever had to do that and what was the situation. 855-33-WAY-FM. I know it's cold, but we're in here working. Be a jerk, go to work. That's what we do. We're ham and eggers in here slinging it out every day. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'd love to have you and get your perspective on this. So have you ever been in that situation?
Oh, I absolutely have. My son, he was going down a very, very bad road, and he came and confessed something very horrible to me. I was the first person he told. Of course, me being mom, I couldn't believe that my son did something like that until I got home and watched the news. And the first thing I did without even thinking, it was just natural instinct in my heart, I went and straight to the police department and turned him in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like, that's next level.
My son was upset about it, but he's very forgiving, and now he realizes that I'm all he has, even though he's got to spend the rest of his life in jail.
I mean, you obviously it was for a massive offense, and so if it's a lifetime sentence, so you did the right thing, but doing the right thing isn't always easy. Has there been any reconciliation with him now, though?
Yes, there has been. He's come to terms with what he's done. He knows it's wrong.
Okay.
You know, it was really hard for me on the tough love part to turn him in, but in the Christian part of me, I knew I myself couldn't go to bed and answer to God every single night with that secret in my heart.
Well, I respect you for that because, yeah, I think about this with my daughter. Mike, could I turn her in for something? And that would be really hard. That'd be a hard decision for me. Betty Rock, I could turn her in for anything. I'd even make up stuff.
Yeah. He wouldn't even find out the true facts.
No. Police, hello? Yeah, she's right here. Well, Rebecca, we appreciate you being on the show with us. and sharing your story. That's a tough one, but it's really great. Thank you.
Oh, yes. It's a great story of tough love. I've given tough love, but it's been tough love for me, too.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And tough love is one of those things that you don't want to do, but sometimes you need to. And I mean, I've done this with Betty for years.
Meh.
Yeah, it's hard to tough love someone when they don't love you.
She's tough to love.
That's very true. Gavin had a little tough love early on in this job. I'm very particular and I'm demanding about the way things go and the way that they should be done. And Gavin was young, zero experience, and we took a chance on him. And because there's a lot of good things to him, like that we saw early on, like he cares for people, he's kind, he's got a good heart. But we were going through a season in the very beginning of our work relationship where he wasn't working the way that I needed him to work. And we had a moment, did we not?
Oh yeah, we did. I mean, the tough part was, is that it was the day before something had happened. You're like, we'll discuss this tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
And then I had plugged my phone, thought I had plugged my phone in to go to bed. It somehow didn't charge. And then I woke up and I'm going to be late for work. I showed up like 3 minutes before the show starts.
Yeah, that's a bad thing for me.
Which again, I was going to show up on time the next day. And
on time
and
is
just,
late.
And just take it.
Yeah.
And so I show up late, walk into the room. I got everything prepped, so we were ready. But then you come in.
I came in hot.
Huffing.
Yeah.
And he's like, Betty, put some extra brakes in. I'm going to have a discussion. I'm going to tear into this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just like leveled with me the idea of like, do you want to work here or do you want to be fine? Like, it was just very much black and white. You're going to keep doing this. We're going to fire you. If you're, you know, if you want to keep working here, you're going to have to step it up and be a man.
Yeah. Cause this is a great job, you know? And I remember telling you, I want you to be better than your generation. That's my goal. If I do that, then your dad will shake my hand, and it'll be a good thing. And, but like, I think we all need those moments, those resets, because Gavin turned it around and has become an ace producer. Like, he is in my head. He's ahead of me now. Like when I go to say, hey, we need this clip, it's already there. And like you had it. It was yours to lose or win. Mm-hmm. And you won it. And you won it big because you already had all the heart stuff, which is great. That's the stuff you can't teach. You know, like the work stuff is the things we can work on and teach. And you crushed that, you know. And you're a great member of the team. And I can't believe it's been almost 5 years you've been here.
I am every day like surprised that I'm – not surprised that I'm still here.
Yeah.
But surprised by how much time has gone by since that day, which again is like it was a terrible day.
Well, I had one of those early in my career too. I had the guy that still coaches our team, Tommy.
Uh-huh.
He pulled me in one day and he threatened my job. And he was like, do you want to work here? Do you even want to work here? I'm like, yeah, I guess. He goes, I got a box of tapes in that corner of the office that of people that would love to have your job. And this is where I'm a little different than you. And I had more of a relationship with him. I went, is that the same box that you told me yesterday? There was no good jocks left in that box.
That's cold.
And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, get out of my office. I'm like, okay, see ya. So had you tried that?
I would not have.
Yeah, it would not have worked. It would not have worked at all, Gavin.
I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Every day after the show, we finish our live thing, and then we stay right where we're sitting. We don't even get up, except Gavin, usually to tinkle, and then he comes back. And then we go into our aftercast, which is our podcast, and it's new content every day that you can get for free.
Yeah, when you text TWS, so that stands for The Wally Show, TWS to 91979, we'll send you a link that will take you straight there.
Now, I'll be the first to admit that I'm amazed by, A, how many people listen to it and download it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like millions per year, which I'm dumbfounded by.
I am too, because typically you like to rant.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of ranting.
Yeah.
And I'm over it.
And we talk about life stuff and we long form conversations that we can't have here. And sometimes just dumb things, quite honestly. you know, like, hey, what do you want to talk about today? And so when I get an email like this, it really lands with me, and I want to share it with you and Gavin because I think it'll matter to you too. Says, hey, I want to share a little story with you. This past September, I received a bad test result from the doctors, and every day I woke up stressed and fighting off panic attacks. And I realized while listening to my church podcast, I felt better. But that's only one podcast a week, so I was only getting emotional relief one day a week. My family has listened to The Wally Show for about 2 years, and I knew there was a podcast. But honestly, I thought it would be cheesy and superficial. No offense. None taken. I decided to start listening in January of 2023, and my gracious, I was wrong. My jaw literally dropped. I texted my husband and said, this is nothing of what I expected. You guys are real, truthful, playful, and intense when needed. I started listening more and more. Every time I feel a panic attack coming on, I pull up your podcast. So thank you very much. There have been times literally that I'm laying in a ball, shaking my hands at all the demons in my head, and I pull up the podcast and it starts to settle me. And I appreciate Betty Rock sharing her stuff about her anxiety as well. So anyway, thank you. I'm almost caught up on 2023. Wow. So she's working her way through the whole year. And I love, like, I've never thought of the podcast is something that lands like that level with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good reminder for all of us. No matter what you do for a living, no matter where you interact with people, like just kind of treating people, you know, the way you treat them, you never know how that's going to land. And the thing that doesn't seem to matter to you, or the kindness that you extend, or the good word, or whatever, the thing that seems innocuous might be just what somebody needed in that moment for that day, and you're kind of on the other end of answering and being a part of someone's answer to prayer, which I think is really cool. So anyway, if you want to check out the podcast that she really endorses, which I like that, it's really easy. Just text the letters TWS to 91979, and we will gladly send you a link.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.